that they have come to in the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your anointing. You said you would anoint us if we asked. I ask that you anoint every word that would be spoken from this pulpit this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start straight away this morning with the Word of God. Could we turn to Psalm 46 this morning? Psalm 46. I'm reading from mostly the New King James, but it may intersperse at times. Psalm 46, a psalm of one of the sons of Korah. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. The Lord of hosts. I want to speak to you this morning about the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. If we can just go where we were a moment ago, to Malachi. I just saw on that page, the Lord of hosts. From verse 10, 3 Malachi, verse 10, down to chapter 4 of Malachi, that I counted five times the Lord of hosts was written. It says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. We go down to verse 13, it says the Lord. Then we go down to verse 14 and it says, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. Before the Lord of hosts, he is one of my favourite. There's many names for Jehovah. We know one of the ones is that I love is Jehovah Nissi, our banner, which was actually an altar to the Lord, and we raise as an army. We were singing this morning, Onward Christian Soldiers, and what I want to speak to you about today is Jehovah. Who is the Lord of hosts? In the Strong's Concordance, the Lord of hosts is mentioned many, many times. The word Jehovah means, I am that I am the Lord. And then we have Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Elohim. We have many terms for Jehovah. But today I want to speak to you about Jehovah Sabaoth. That may be my way of saying it. Sabaoth, it's actually spelt in the Hebrew T-S-A-B-A, which means Sorba. It means an army organized for war. The word literally means hosts and primarily refers to God's holy warring angels. Jehovah Sabaoth combines the ideas of the eternal, the all-powerful, the self-existent one, and the commander of all the armies in heaven. He the commander of the Lord of hosts. And this morning, this afternoon now, I want to introduce you to a new aspect of the commander of the hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth himself. Psalm 46 just revealed to us the many attributes of the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven. We spoke about this morning, the teaching was on the second coming. He will be accompanied by the hosts of heaven. There'll be warring angels accompanying him. Is that correct? Is that what the word tells us? So the Lord of hosts, his voice is so great that when he speaks, that the earth, the heavens and the earth shake and tremble at his word. One command from the commander-in-chief. Do you know that the angels cannot be ministering spirits on the earth unless they've had a word from the commander-in-chief? Now, I want to share with you this morning that Jehovah the Sabaoth will destroy all his enemies and make an end to all wars. That's what we said when he comes back. There'll be no more death. Sin will be no more on the earth, as we saw in the teachings this morning. As I know many of you were not born in this country. How many were not born, of just at this gathering this morning, how many were not born in Australia? Many. Many were not born here. So you've been adopted. You've adopted this land. I want to share with you this morning the heritage that you have adopted. Not as the sons of Jesus, the daughters of the living King, as the princess of the King of Kings who sits on the throne, but I want to introduce you to a story that is very special to my heart. I want to speak to you about the Australians in the restoration of Jerusalem. First of all, those of you that are from the Ivory Coast, right up as far as Nigeria, have you heard of Mary Slessor of Calabar? Oh, you've heard of Mary Slessor of Calabar. Oh, you all know. How come you know? How do you know? In your history. Wow. So you learned of this in your history. Ha-ha. Australians don't know this book, brother. Australians didn't have this in their history. Australians don't know the story. This is an old book. If I can just read one page. She said she sailed on August the 5th, 1876. Two Dundee companions went with her to Liverpool. At the docks, they saw going on board the steamer Ethiopia, by which she was to travel, a large number of casks of spirits for the West Coast. Scores of casks, she explained ruefully, and only one missionary. Do we know about the casks where they went? Mary went to your land and she gave up the land of her forefathers. And you know about her in your history. You can ask many Australians, they will never ever have heard of Mary Slessor unless they belong to a missionary-based going-out church. So because you know about Mary, and I want to teach you this morning, and I'm hoping that it is new to some of you may know about the restoration of Jerusalem, which is called Jerusalem in Jerusalem. I had the privilege last year of being in Jerusalem at about this time. The Australians were part of the force that won back the city of Damascus and the city of Jerusalem. This has led to a well of blessing for us here in Australia. This is a blessed land. Who knows that Australia has not known war? Has this country known war? The closest it got was Darwin at Pearl Harbor. This, you have come because this is a land of refuge. Amen. You have adopted Australia because it's a land of refuge. Many yet will still come to the shores of this land. but you have a charge once you've come. You have a charge to keep up the history of the missionaries that went to your land and to embrace. I heard my sister this morning say, I wasn't feeling like coming to church, but she upheld what that she was taught and she knew in her spirit. Our forefathers went to the Middle East in 1917 to secure from the Ottoman Turks that had held Jerusalem for over 400 years. The Ottoman Turks had held Jerusalem. How can another nation hold Jerusalem when the Lord is coming back? The Lord is coming back to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, his holy city. Amen. We heard this morning, it says in Revelations, that a new Jerusalem will come out of the heaven. John saw at the island of Patmos in vision. You may not have known, but the Australian forces that went to the Middle East and joined up with the British and the Indian forces in Palestine in 1917 were given Bibles as an issue. That was their kit. Australian men from the bush were given a Bible, a leather-bound Bible. If you go to the War Museum in Canberra today, you will see those leather-bound Bibles that are in the museum. The men carried them in their saddlebags. If you've been privileged enough to go to Albany, you'll see the highest point of Albany, Mount Clarence. There's a bronze statue of a horse, and the men from the surrounding farms all over Western Australia took their horses, and the last sight of Australian land was Albany. Albany was the first settlement point in Western Australia. It was the last point that the Australian soldiers saw before they went, and many of them joined in the battle for Jerusalem. 800 light horsemen in a single line-up charge, won back the battle. In the evening time, the men sat around the fires and they were taught by the many chaplains that were sent with them in their army. Many, many chaplains. Australians, we say in Aussie slang, it'll be all right, mate. But deep down, the Australia has a spirit that's second to none in the world. We saw that the crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, people loved him. He was passionate. The Australian who were in the Light Horse Regiment with the ostrich plumes in their hats and on with the Bibles as their army issue had a deep down passion for God. Because of the founding fathers that came to this land. Australia has a Christian heritage. You did not come, as you know, you came to a Christian land. But I wanted to share with you more about the heritage of this land, just as you knew about Mary Slessor. Israel became a nation in 1948. How could it become a nation if it had not been won back in 1917? I want to share with you the story. 1917 was to be a strategic battle over who would rule the Holy Land for the next hundreds of years, we hope, until Jesus comes back. The Muslims had built a row of penetrable forts across the desert. When you go to